Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is astrologer Shelley Antine speaking to you about the week beginning Monday, December 2nd, and ending on Sunday, December 8th. And while we'll have lunar aspects predominating as we are in the waxing crescent phase after our new moon, and not moving into the second quarter until next week, we will find as we get to Friday that there are major shifts and changes taking place. And the first one is going to be Mars retrograding in Leo on Friday at 6:33 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the next thing is going to be Venus shifting into Aquarius at 1:13 a.m. Eastern on Saturday. And she's going to be making a very interesting conjunction. And Neptune on Saturday is going into direct motion at 6:43 p.m. So we have a lot to talk about when we get to the weekend. So I am going to start with Monday, and Venus in Capricorn is making a trine to still retrograde Uranus in Taurus until 9:43 a.m. And so this is, you know, kind of a nice way to start off. We've had a long holiday weekend in the United States. It was a Thanksgiving weekend, and people will be traveling, perhaps. Not the greatest time, even though Venus is ready to get back to looking at the mundane world a little bit more closely and working and stuff like that with the trine to Uranus and Taurus. The moon in Sagittarius is square Neptune in Pisces until 10:47 a.m. Eastern. So that's not a really great time to do particularly long distance journeys. And also, you can be hearing things and looking at things, and they may be not as good as they appear. So be aware of that. That might be a Cyber Monday. So wait till after. I'd say wait till noon and after before you start looking around. The moon, it will be void, of course, at 10:47 a.m., so that sort of illusion and fog will linger on a bit. Moon will enter practical Capricorn at 4:09 p.m., and now you can get down to Earth. This is your real down-to-Earth moment. It is moving towards, and it'll take a long time to get there, a sextile to Saturn and Pisces. And that comes in 4:17 p.m. on Tuesday. So you've got a lot of time on Monday in the evening hours to look at structures and maybe things that would be valuable to purchase, you know, at a good rate. And also all the way through, again, 4:17 p.m. on Tuesday for this. The moon will move on, and it will take a long time to get to the trine to Uranus and Taurus. Meanwhile, and that's coming in on 1:24 p.m. Wednesday. Meanwhile, early morning, Mercury opposes Jupiter, and they are in mutual reception because Mercury is in Jupiter's sign of Sagittarius. Jupiter's in Mercury's sign of Gemini. So a lot of information that starts to be happening, but also some difficulty in separating out facts and philosophies. And, you know, it's an interesting conversation time, though, I would say. But the sun in Sagittarius is making its square to Saturn at 11:18 a.m. So there's a little bit of a down to the earlier morning. There may be some obstacles. Again, that could involve travel. So be aware of that. But then we get a nice stretch after that square to Saturn from the sun. The moon is going to trine Uranus in Taurus at 1:24 p.m. Venus is spending the day in a sextil to Neptune in Pisces. That's stationed, of course, on this degree for a long time. So it's a slow-moving planet. At 1:52 p.m., that comes in exact. But that is a really good time to take a look at some of the softer sides of conducting public life. You know, some issues, maybe more issues about compassion and helping others. Moon in Capricorn is agreeing with this as it's going sextile Neptune also. And that comes in at 6:09 p.m. And the moon connects this aspect again by going into the conjunction to Venus at 6:34 p.m. So we have a day on Wednesday where, despite the fact that we're looking at things in, you know, kind of a traditional or way of practicality and caution in some senses, we are also looking at creative visioning of how we might want to structure, and we are coming into the end of the year, right? So there's going to be so many changes ahead, and so, you know, maybe the best time to talk about it is a short period of time when the Capricorn moon and Venus come together at 6:34 p.m. So you've got, you could probably start on the sextile to Neptune. So you've got about 25 minutes to say, hey, this is what I see, this is what I think, or maybe write it down, take notes about it for yourself so you know what you're thinking you'd like to put into motion. And this first quarter phase of the moon is about that. It's about where, especially this waxing crescent time, where do we plant our seeds? Where would they flourish? So this is the day, Wednesday, where you might make some decisions about that. And Mercury is retrograde, so we have that to remember as we do this. If it's something you've been working on for a long time, you still might find that when Mercury goes direct, you'll have slightly adjusted perceptions or something needs to be tweaked a bit. Avoid, of course, moon for the evening until the moon enters Aquarius at 11:21 p.m. And that will go into the conjunction to Pluto at 11:56 p.m. And whenever the moon and Pluto are together, we can find an obsessive, you know, instinctively obsessed attitude or feeling about something going on in the environment or some intrinsic need. And this feeling will be pronounced. And so it can also mean if you are working together on a group, this is Aquarius moon, right? So, and Pluto's now in Aquarius. If you're working in group activities with people of like mind, or you're in the place of being able to work with some of the transformation energies in technology, it's not so bad. But it does incline us to have, again, that plutonic, I need to control this, obsession about this subject. Okay. What is also happening is the moon will go opposition Mars, which is slowed way down so that it could go retrograde on Saturday, or Friday actually. So now we've got this moon opposition Mars coming in at 10:28 a.m. on Thursday. And this is where we get the Kazemi of Mercury, which means it's like, you know, not seen because it's in on the face of the sun. It's under the rays of the sun in Sagittarius, and that's until 9:18 p.m. So the moon opposition Mars is looking at the Aquarius Leo polarity, and that is the independence, unique and new energies of Aquarius versus the decisions of loyalty, courage, and maintaining and fighting for the kingdom of the self. You know, it's like, you know, are we progressing or are we focused on maintenance of what we've amassed? It's a thing that could easily be argued about, and we may see it argued in our own lives, but we could see it definitely on the world stage, you know, which is so full of events now. That is happening. And while the sun is moving into that Mercury Kazemi, which takes our mind, and it's a retrograde Mercury that goes back over the face of the sun, this is where we really need to allow, in a sense, the resting of the, it's a fire sign, Sagittarius. This is, has a lot of impulse to act, impulse to speak, impulse to say this and that and the other thing. Kazemi sort of weakened energy with an already internalized Mercury. So the power of this moment is to use it in the internal looking at what the personality and what the self-expression has been doing and how it's doing in the world. So remember that, but the moon is now going to stir up and enliven in a sextile to Mercury, moon in Aquarius, sextile at Mercury, and then the sun in Sagittarius. Those come in at 12:56 a.m. Eastern for Mercury and 1:38 a.m. For the sextile to the sun in Sagittarius on Friday morning. So now there's at least questioning in our own minds, or, you know, we're looking at the future, which is also the province of Aquarius. I mean, wow, it's already the 6th of December. I thought I would have this and that it. I thought I would have had that and this. I have to hurry up and get it done. Well, I don't know. Mars is going retrograde. 6:33 p.m. We do also have a Mercury trine Jupiter in Gemini at 4:53 a.m., and that's also expanding out in communications or thoughts, and even in your dreams, maybe like really active over that night. And there may be some messages in that for you. But again, Mars is going retrograde at 6:33 p.m. So while the moon is going to square Uranus and Taurus at 7:01 p.m., this Mars retrogrades. Okay, well, it's our planet. If we are Aries or Aries rising, this is your ruling planet, they say, in the old language of astrology. You will start feeling that much more than the rest of us, but the energy planet is slowing down. We are in our northern hemisphere, winter. Okay, so it's normal to want to slow down, but we're in a holiday season where we're asked to step up and act more, festivities, rush around, get things done. Miss Mars is really suggesting, look, you know, just don't push yourself too hard. Because one of the things with Mars, even in the direct motion in Leo, is that you can overtax the muscular systems. And, you know, the heart is one of those muscles. So, you know, relax. Take some time. You know, we are in a society, it's especially since 2012, where we feel the need to be constantly on. Very few people, I have a friend who is, but very few are not at the beck and call of their cell phone at all times. Something bings and you feel like you must address it. You're always available. And you're also seeking all the time. You know, you're on searching for things, you're listening to podcasts, you're, you know, when are we going to just simply do what the lions love to do? Rest, self-care. Because our actions aren't necessarily going to be in a direction that will be as positive as it could be. You know, I mean, some people say when Mars is retrograde, don't put all your desires in one basket. Spread them out a bit, because not everything will go forward in a way that will bring you the fruition of the enterprise that you would like. So, you know, don't put too much of your motivation and desires. You know, it's when Mars goes direct that you'll be able to see what directions are actually the ones to pursue. Now, when is that going to happen? Okay. Well, first of all, it's going to go retrograde back into Cancer in January, on the 6th of January, a month from retrograde, because it only got up to, I think it's 6 degrees of Leo before it retrograded. So it's going back into Cancer, and that's going to put that, you know, reviewing our actions about our home, about our security, about our family, about food, clothing, and shelter. And, you know, what is it that we have done that we feel, you know, there may have been a lot of action in the home, things that had to be handled or in the family. And so we're going to be moving back into looking at all of those things. And that's when Mars goes direct. It will still be in Cancer. And it goes direct on the 23rd of February of 2025 at 17 degrees of Cancer. So it's going to take a while to get back into Leo, and it will go into the 6th degree of Leo on the 2nd of May of 2025. So that whole retrograde cycle is still being processed. Okay. You know, it's this 2025, as I keep telling you, is going to be a time of a number, an unusual number of shifts and changes for outer planets and the lunar nodes. So our whole eclipse cycle is going to be focusing, except for one last one in Aries, in the signs that are coming in for the nodes, which are the south node in Virgo and the north node in Pisces. And that seems kind of interesting, because we've just gone through so much Pisces with planets that are difficult, Saturn and Uranus, and also Nessus, that buck stops here, show you where it's not working and put an end to this, please. Centaur. So now we get a chance to look at, hey, you know, it may be time to look at the positive aspects of Neptune and see if you can reach those. And here we are. Okay, Mars will, I'm looking for the re-entry date to Leo. It's, you know, it's going to be the, it looks like the 19th day of April. So it's still moving relatively slowly. And again, you know, we don't resolve this whole thing until Mars gets out of that degree, the 2nd of May. It's a long haul. And this, again, these are our desires. This is our planet of motion and action. This is also a time where we may be looking at some of our repressed anger. You know, like a lot of energy to not be angry. Well, someone unleashed anger for a whole big group of people who were sitting on a pile of it, made it okay to just lash out, be aggressive, be abusive. Many of us were told when we were very small that we should keep that under wraps and don't act on that, and you know, no good comes of acting out of anger. And this is also true on the world stage. So much aggression is unleashed right now, and it's phenomenal. It seems to me that it's a uniquely aggressive time on the planet. So during retrograde Mars, we have the opportunity individually and also in the outer world to look at where we have had anger and perhaps repressed it, but it spills out. You know, it has sort of interfered with things without being seen or caused actions that one might be looking back over now and saying, hey. And it's going to be a very similar process. When it goes direct, you may also be looking at how you would like to change the way you deal with that energy. Because we've been having the North Node in Aries, the sign, the sun that is generally given, Scorpio also, old ruler of Scorpio, to Mars. So we may be really called on to see if we would like to find a way to accept or alleviate what's underneath that anger, which usually will end up being fear. So, you know, I'm always telling people about Bach flower remedies, and, you know, Mars and Aries have the flower called impatiens with an S, but, you know, that tells you about everything you need to know about the flower. It will relieve the impatience energy, which is also based on a fear of something not happening, something not getting done, you know, not being able to rely on others to do things and be in charge, you know, which is a big Aries-Mars thing, right? And then the flower for Scorpio, chicory, which is wanting to lead or, you know, be the authority over other people for their own good, people that you care about, that you must have them near you. And, you know, it's, you know, hey, okay, take it easy. What are you afraid of? So sometimes you might want to take those flowers and just put in a mimulus, which is a fear of known things in the world, or even aspen, which is the spooky fear. So something terrible is going to happen. I don't know what it is. I'm having nightmares, you know. And use that during this time period, because I think a lot of people can relate to what I just said. Aspen, like energy, could be an important one right now. So, I mean, we'll probably be talking more about it as it moves on, and, you know, perhaps when it goes back into Cancer, you know, it'll be another feature on the podcast. But let's go back and see that we do have something that could cause upsets and sudden surprises with the moon going square Uranus in Taurus. And the closer we get to 7:01 p.m. Eastern time, the more we might run into surprising things that we, you know, aren't expecting. So be more conscious then, and especially because Mercury retrograde is internalized and is being squared, or is squaring, Saturn in Pisces at 8:53 p.m., so the mind is not functioning well. And, you know, you have to realize these moments. That's why I'm telling them to you, so you can say, all right, I know what I need to do. The moon is void, of course, as Venus enters Aquarius at 1:13 a.m. Saturday. So Venus in Aquarius is not your cozy love image. You know, Venus in Aquarius isn't going to make you cookies unless they have a moon in Taurus, you know, but, or Cancer. This is a very independent Venus. This is a Venus that needs stimulation. You know, don't bore this Venus. Easily bored, must have action and change and exciting things. So, this is the Venus that we are probably in for the holidays. So if you're having folks at your place, you better have a good schedule of activities with Venus in Aquarius. But we're also looking at the combination of love and friendship, right? And that's one of the high aspects of this position is bringing, you know, the attitude of love is, you know, for many of us, we've been brought up on romance is love, you know, or, you know, somebody who's always there for me is love, or, you know, somebody I approve of is love, or whatever it is. But with Venus in Aquarius, it is the friendship aspect. It is also the love of certain group energies, like being in, especially those that have something that's exciting. And you know, one of the funny things about Aquarius is that it's very modern. Yes, it loves all the new gadgets and gimmicks and all the new tech stuff, and this is where a lot of money is going to be spent. But it also loves antiquity. It has those two lines, right? So one of them goes into the new, futuristic, and the other goes back. And, you know, it's often interesting to go into the home of a person who has a lot of Aquarian energy, because you may see, again, very future-oriented objects mixed with, you know, an old master painting, or, you know, really going way back beyond that, even to the Greek statue or something like that. It's a wide interest. It's a wide spectrum. But Venus in Aquarius is not known to be, you know, stable. So other things are in the chart that can induce this stability, then it's reliable. It is a fixed sign. So it can be reliable, but it doesn't like to be obligated to that. It wants to choose. It wants to choose its reliabilities. Okay? So, we'll have an emphasis on things that are unusual, and we'll all be looking at that. Rules, the lower leg and ankles, people who are working in jobs might be looking at comfortable, you know, if I have to stand on my legs, and spending money on things like that. But also treatments for perhaps the system, the circulatory system in the lower leg and ankle area. But also socks, you know. And that's, you know, as fashion goes, when Venus is spending. Now, it's more likely to spend on energy healings and readings, astrology readings. Astrology may become very, very focused on with Venus there. And it should be, because it is, again, the end of the year, and we are going into that change, and Venus loves change, but she would love to know about it, too, because, you know, in Taurus, she's, like, practical. And in Libra, she's making decisions. So here she is. Tell me about the future. And it's a good time to be told about the future. Okay, so Saturday, the moon enters Pisces at 4:49 a.m. And that's an interesting moon to have when its ruler Neptune goes direct. But the Venus conjunction takes place at 9:08 a.m. What we see in most astrology is Venus conjunct Pluto. And that is fated, you know, like, well, not fatal attraction, maybe, but that's a fated meeting. And powerful connection in Aquarius may be fleeting, not necessarily long-lasting, but powerful influence comes in. And since we're on electronic media, you can have a very powerful influence if you happen to go on a social media, and just somebody. Doesn't have to be a love energy, but it can just be something that's transformative. But the thing that we don't usually see, you would see it in my charts when I do charts, is the dwarf planet Ceres. Venus is with Ceres. She's been with Ceres for a while. She was with Ceres exact at the last degree of Capricorn, which was where Neptune just has been and will be again, and Neptune in the last degree of Pisces, Pluto. They were with the place where Pluto left, and now they caught up with Pluto in Aquarius. So we have Venus, who is, you know, considered, you know, the goddess of love and beauty. And Ceres, which is a mother energy that's very protective, and she's the goddess of grains also, so she has a connection to our agriculture and, you know, the food and the nourishing, not like the moon, but, you know, that we should have the cycles, that we should have them going in the right direction and, you know, producing what they're supposed to produce for all of us, but also the children. So here's this really powerhouse conjunction, which is taking place, and it's taking place opposite in the sign that Mars is, where the action has just slowed down. So what will we be seeing? What is going to be carried forth with this is going to be seen in the world. This is going to be a moment of maybe the feminine rising up and saying, hey, in many ways, I don't know when the march is. There's another march going to take place that took place when number 45 was inaugurated in Washington, D.C. The women were marching, and sometimes with their spouses and other male friends. So I feel like something very huge is going to take place. It's going to be a big demonstration of some kind that applies to the feminine aspect, or even those who love people who are unusual, because now we're getting these huge backlashes on people who've declared themselves now as not fitting into what was the societal standard, you know, of gender identification or behavior. So here it comes. This is powerful. You know, we'll see. We'll see what's building up during the week. We'll see what takes place. But the actual exact conjunction is Saturday, the 7th of December, which is a day that shall live in infamy, which was when Pearl Harbor was bombed and the United States entered a war in Europe. It's another potential possibility, because it seems like there are a few people in the world who want to be in control of a vast segment of the world. We just heard that somebody threatened to go to war with Mexico. Huh. How fascinating. Well, who would have ever thought they'd ever hear that? So, you know, there's people who love independence and freedom and have a passionate commitment to it, and others who have the passionate desire for power over. So this is a big day, Saturday the 7th. We've got the retrograding Mars. We have the Sun moving opposite Jupiter and Gemini, expanding and exacerbating thoughts and communications. And then Neptune is going direct as Moon in Pisces squares retrograde Mercury in Sagittarius. Oh, if you're there anywhere and you remember this, just know that just as the processing is going to begin, the processing of anger, which will show some of the fear energies that are under it, and maybe how you've been with it for a long period of your life, Neptune is about to come forward after examining all of those Piscean qualities, the secret, the chameleon-like, the fantasy, the victim, you know, all of this, you know, where is this? Where does this come? You know, I think I'm not alone in being a person who knows that I have often wanted to see something in other people that wasn't actually there, you know. And during the retrograde cycle of Neptune, I have really once again brought up realizations about the true nature of things that I never saw clearly before. All right, here we go. Neptune's going direct, and it's about to shift into another sign, which is Aries. So Neptune is also going to act. And so will Saturn when Saturn gets there. So we have pivotal moments. The seventh day of December, 2024, is one of them. I mean, if you are able to be in a ceremonial situation or doing a prayer, big prayer, energy day, that's a great day to be engaged in that. And if you want to be with group energy that feels the same as you, this is a great day to be there and be focusing in a positive way. Because as we know, or we may remember, Pluto in Aquarius is demanding something from us that we have not been taught. And that is, power is in me. Power of thought and vision. And what I think about, I feed. And when I feed it, it gets energy and it makes it stronger. So we have to look at what we are choosing to think about. And that's a good day to look. That's a good day, even though it's not a new moon, to set some thoughts about positive visioning for 2025. And Neptune comes out, and also, and then more secrets will be revealed. In the station here, we've had a bunch of secrets revealed about people in public life, which might have been used against them or used to control them in the past, and they've just been coming out. Like, wow! Really? That person? You know, so, yeah. Look at Saturday the 7th and plan that day wisely. Because it's not your average, let's go play day. Well, you can't, but, I mean, there are other things going on that may shift the energies that you were expecting, if that's what you were expecting, tra-la-la. And it isn't a day I would be out buying, you know, shopping. I wouldn't do that either. So the Neptune square to Mercury retrograde comes in at 12:58 a.m. on Sunday the 8th. And then we go with the moon to the conjunction to Saturn. And these are 3:43 a.m. Eastern time. Yeah, I'm glad that I'm going to be asleep for that, because the last time I was there, when it was daytime and I was telling people on my daily forecasts, you know, it's going to be really a down day and you need to do things to lift yourself up. I really felt it myself. So I'll probably have some dream or other and that'll be a better way to deal with it. Moon in Pisces squares Jupiter at 8:56 a.m. And once again, there's just too much mental stuff, too much conversation, too much chatter, too many emails for the moon in Pisces, which would like to stay in bed, please leave me alone. And then the moon squares the sun, 10:27 a.m., and that's when we do go into the second quarter lunar phase, which is about gathering your tools, getting the information, fertilizing the seeds, and then the growth that has come, and moving towards fruition at a full moon on the 15th. All right, so you're in second quarter. First it'll be a half moon, and then it will be the waxing gibbous moon. And you know that word gibbous? It's really weird, right? It's and I don't know why it stuck. I'm sure they could have thought of something else. But someone decided that it looked like the buttocks of the gibbous ape or whatever. And that's, yeah, okay. We're sort of stuck with it. But it is also in the time of the wax and the wane. It's a gibbous. But this is the waxing gibbous. It will move quickly into that phase as the moon in Pisces sextiles retrograde Uranus and Taurus until 11 p.m. So this is another day that isn't an easy tra-la-la day and may represents some difficulties. And one of the difficulties with the moon square sun at 10:27 a.m. is that the instinctive feelings are not in harmony with the conscious desires to express. So that, like, you know, I would like to just be here and drift and dream and whatever, is, you know, meeting with it in the self, also that feeling I've got to go and do and tell and say, you know, and then you have it out pictured in relationship too, so there's definitely differences and not a good time to be discussing things. You know, while the moon is sextil Uranus and Taurus, you can have a lot of psychic and intuitive energy combined to give you some ideas about what you want to be working with in the second quarter. Okay. And you may be looking at some alternative ways to move forward. But be aware that the moon will join Neptune also, 3:45 a.m. So if you're in the time zones that are still up and about, this is going to be when the deep fog descends. And if you're using it for music, creativity, spirituality, doing Tai Chi and yoga, that's great. But there's a lot of illusion, fantasy, delusion, and some may even want to be escaping and do whatever they do to escape. Too much sensitivity. Got to escape. And so Monday we will start the day in that void of course moon until it shifts to Aries at 8:38 a.m. Now, the week that's coming in the approach to Christmas as well is the full moon week. So we'll be looking at that next time. And let's see, is anything else happening? Oh, yes. As I've told you, this is my birthday present. Mercury goes direct at 3:56 p.m. That Sunday, the 15th, yes. Full moon early, 4:02 a.m. And then 3:56 p.m., Mercury direct, yes. Well, at least, you know, we also know then we've got a bunch of things to say at the end of the week. And I'll probably do the full moon for you either as a separate podcast or possibly because there's not that much changing before the full moon at the beginning of next week's podcast. And I will say that it is a good time to get a reading. You can contact me, Shelley at ShelleyAntine.com, through the website, ShelleyAntine.com, and order yours. And I will also say that I wrote a series of books with some wonderful tools to help us go through the time that's given by a Druid priestess of the late 5th century. She gave me these words, and people are very, very happy when they read these books. And it's the Revealing the Druid Legacy series. You can find it on Amazon. 3 books, and it would make a great gift if you've already read them, because we're coming into that time, and so would a reading. A reading is a gift that keeps on giving all through the year. So, wishing you the best with what I've told you about the week to come, and I'll say goodbye for now.